Well, good morning, New Point. We're glad that you are here. We're in an exciting series called More Than Words, and we're looking at God's Word. And last week, we looked at the fact that the Bible can be trusted. It's something that you and I can fully put all of our trust behind. And we learned that it's accurate historically. We learned that it's accurate scientifically. We learned that it was accurate prophetically. It's affirmed by Jesus himself, the one who died and the one who rose again. And as I said last week, I'm going to believe anything from the man who has conquered death. He looked at it square in the face, died, and rose again. And he affirms the words of the prophets from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And then we learned that it has a transforming power, that literally the Bible can transform people's lives, and it has for thousands and thousands of years. Now this morning, we want to look at this truth. The Bible can change my life. You see, the Bible is unlike any other book. That's why we call it the Holy Bible. It has a power. It's a supernatural power that no other book has. And it has the ability to change your life. And I just want to go on record. It's changed my life. And it's changing my life continually. And the reason why it has the power to change people's lives is because it's the Word of God. It's not an ordinary book. It's not just a book of fairy tales or fables. It's not even the history of Israel. It is the Word of God. And because of that, it has the power to change your life. And so this morning, if you're not happy with your life, if you're not happy with your marriage, if you're not happy with your family, you're at the right place. Because I'm going to share with you about a book, God's Word, that if you will fully trust, it will change your life. It will change your marriage. It will change your family. Now, the reason why the Bible is so powerful is because it's more than just words. It's more than just words. It's God's Word. It's not some person's idea. It's not filled with human ideas. It's not pop psychology. It's the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is the most powerful thing in all of universe. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the entire universe was created through God's Word. The Bible tells us that He spoke it into existence just by speaking it. And over again, God speaks and it happens. God speaks and it changes. Scripture would tell us that God does not call things as they are, but as He would have them to be. And Jesus, in His own words, tells us that God's Word is more than just words. They are spirit and life. Look at it. It's there in your notes this morning. In John 6:63, Jesus is speaking. The words I have spoken to you are what? Spirit, and they are life. What is He saying here? He is saying that He's speaking more than just words. We're talking about spiritual power. We're talking about spiritual life. Things that can transform a man. Things that can transform a woman. Things that can transform a society or a community or a country. Or literally even the world. It can do the impossible. That's God's Word. It's more than words. It's life. It's powerful. Hebrews would tell it like this. The Word of God is what? Living and active. It's actually alive. It's living and active. And that's not just words. The word active here is where we get the word energy. Energy. It has energy. It has power to change things. He goes on to say, the Word of God is living and active. It is, check this out, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Wow. What is he saying here? He is saying that it's sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. That the Word of God, listen, the Word of God has the ability to cut right to the heart of the issue. You ever been in a conversation that nobody wants to get to the real issue? We don't want to talk about the attitudes. We don't want to talk about the thoughts. We don't want to go to the core issue. The Bible says, okay, you know what? You read this, it'll cut through all of that. And it'll get right to the issue. It has the ability to point out what needs to be changed in my life and in your life. What needs to be corrected in my life and in your life. That's why somebody has said that sin will either keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. You see, the reason why many of us don't read the Bible, we don't want it to go after our thoughts. We don't want it to go after our attitudes. Because you can fool me, and I can fool you, but you can't fool the Word of God. Because it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes right towards your attitude and my attitude and your thoughts and my thoughts. And it lets us know what needs to change in our life if we're going to live a productive life, a fruitful life. Now, what you and I need to realize is this. You don't have the power to change your life on your own. You say, how do you know that, Dwight? Because you would have already changed if you could have. You can't. That's why you're frustrated. And God's Word can. Matter of fact, D.L. Moody said this, the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge. The Bible was given to change our life. You know what they say about churches? What do they say about churches? They're full of hypocrites. They're full of judgmental people. You know why? Because we have a tendency to think that the Bible was given to increase our knowledge. Hello? Give me some deep teaching. Tell me something I don't know so I can use it on other people. It's not what the Bible was given for. It wasn't given just to increase your knowledge. It was given to change your life. And the more you come to church and listen to God's Word and the less you change, the more judgmental you are. Hello, hello, hello. And so you know what's sad but true? The world has got it right a lot of times. The church is full of judgmental people because we hear the truth over and over again, but we don't allow it to change us. We just allow it to increase our knowledge. And because of that, we become more judgmental of the people around us instead of allowing it to change us. And D.L. Moody said, the Bible was not given for you and me to increase our knowledge, but the Bible was given to you and me so that we could change. So how do we do that? Because here's what I want you to know. The Bible can change your life. So how do we cooperate? What do we need to embrace? Let me give you some things. First of all, we need to understand that God's Word is living. It's living and it gives me life. God's Word has the power to give me a new life. Do you know anyone who needs a new life? Do you know anyone who needs a fresh start? Do you know anyone who would say, you know what, Dwight, I wish I could just begin again? Well, the Bible gives you that ability. It's called being born again. Born again basically means you get a whole new life. You don't turn over a new leaf. You get a whole new life. You start over. The slate is clean. You are born again. Look what it says here in 1 Peter. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, check this out, through the what? The living and enduring Word of God. He says here that it's living and that it's enduring. And so the Word of God is not just mere words. It's more than that. It's alive. It's living and enduring. And James tells us that he chose to give us what? Birth through the word of truth. Now, what we have to understand is he's talking about a spiritual birth here. He's talking about salvation that comes through the word of truth. You see, without the word of truth, you can't be saved. I couldn't be saved. Without the word of truth, none of us would be headed towards heaven. Without the word of truth, we wouldn't even know that there is a heaven. Without God's word, we wouldn't even know that we have a need and that we can be saved. We wouldn't know about Jesus Christ coming and living a sinless life and then becoming sin so that you and I could be freed from our sin. We wouldn't know how to trust him. We wouldn't know that God has a purpose and a plan for our life. We wouldn't know the things that we need to know in order to know God in an intimate, personal way without his word. And so here's what I want you to understand. God's word is living, and it gives new life. God is not silent. He has spoken, and it's more than just words. It's powerful, and it can transform you, and it can give you a whole new beginning. And he wants you not only to know about him, he wants you to know him in an intimate, personal way. And so the Bible can change your life because it is alive. It is alive. But it's also liberating. God's word is not only living, but it's liberating. It frees me from guilt, and it brings us joy. And this is huge. You see, here's what the Bible lets us know. I don't have to live with guilt in my life. I don't have to go around with a life full of regrets. I don't have to go around living in shame. You see, hear me on this. Most people, and some of you are here this morning, most people are stuck with memories from the past, and you can't get over it. And you trip up over your memories all the time from either people who have hurt you and you have resentment in your life, or people that you have hurt and you have guilt in your life. Do you know that God does not want you to live that way? And he not only doesn't want you to live that way, he's given you a way not to live that way. Do you know that? He wants you to deal with the baggage and the guilt and the shame and the resentment in your life. He wants you to be free from that. And the Bible has been given to you and me so that we can walk in that truth and in that power. And that God's word is used to free you and I from guilt and to bring us joy. Look what it says here in Ephesians. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, complete, cleansing her by the washing with water through what? The word. What is he saying here? He is saying that if you and I will take the word of God, if you and I will read it, if you and I will embrace it, that every time that you and I take the word of God and we fill our mind, we fill our life with it, it washes our mind, it washes our spirit, it washes our body, it cleanses us from dirt and guilt and shame and sin. That's what God's word does. That's what it does. You see, God's word is liberating, and it frees us from guilt. And nothing else can do that for you. Nothing. And so God's word is liberating. It frees us from guilt, but it brings us joy. Look what it says here. The psalmist writes, "You're my place of quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew me." Wow. You see, it not only removes guilt from my life, but it brings joy into my life. You see, the word of God is meant to encourage you. It's meant to give you hope. It brings you joy. You know, Nehemiah tells us that the joy of the Lord is my strength. My strength. You know, we need to be people who are full of joy. And if you're not full of joy, maybe it's because you're not in this book. Hello? What's your joy quota today? It may be in direct correlation to how much of this you have in your mind and in your heart. You see, the psalmist says, "You're my place of what? quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew me. You see, if you're discouraged, if you have lost hope, it really speaks of one thing. You're not living in this book. Oh, but you don't know my marriage. Oh, but you don't know my kids. Oh, you don't know the people I work with. Oh, you don't know. You don't know the word of God, that it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and that it's liberating, and that it's full of life, and that it brings hope. It brings joy. You see, when you feel hopeless, we need to run to this. We need to, because it can change your life and my life, because it's powerful. You see, the more you feel discouraged, the more you need to get into this book, because you're running on your feelings instead of running on the truth. And we know this here at New Point, you shall know the truth and it'll set you free. Free from what? Discouragement. Free from what? Depression. Free from what? Guilt. Free from what? Shame. That's why the enemy, Satan, will do everything in his power to keep you from this book, to keep you from reading it, keep you from trusting in it. And so we need to realize that God's word is living and it's liberating, but you know what? It's more than that. It's stimulating. God's word is stimulating. It activates my faith and spiritual growth. You know what I found out is this. Most people aren't confident. Are you confident? Now, there's a lot of arrogant people and cocky people, but there's very few confident people. There's very few courageous people. Most people are driven by fear. They're afraid of taking risk. They're afraid of being criticized. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of dying. They're just afraid. They're scared. They're scared. They're not walking confidently. Because why? Not people of faith. See, faith and fear is not going to continue to exist in the same room, in the same person. Faith is the word activated. And what is faith? It's believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. When faith walks in, you say goodbye to fear. Look what God's word has to say. Faith comes from what? Hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Wow. See, God's word is stimulating. It activates my faith. Have you ever been here on a Sunday morning and you hear a scripture and something happens inside of you and it stimulates you and you begin to say, I think I can do that. I think I'm going to go after that. I'm going to have the courage to deal with that. You see, when you hear the word of God, suddenly you begin to think, you know what? I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What happened? And what happens on Sunday morning here? You have been activated by faith through the word of God. And now you feel like you what? Can go out and look at life and deal with the issues of life with a greater determination and a greater courage. That's why you shouldn't miss here. You know why? Because this is a place of where your faith gets activated through the word. And you get refueled. And you come here and you say, you know what? I think I can go on in my marriage. I think I can go on at work. I think I can go on parenting. I think I can go on living. Why? Because something happens. God's word is spoken. You read it, and it activates something in you. Now, you need to understand there's a difference between the Bible and self-help books. And I'm not against all self-help books. Sometimes there's some good stuff there. They can tell you the right thing to do. The only problem with a self-help book, they can't give you the power to do the right thing. Read a self-help book. Don't worry. Duh. I know that. I know that. The question is, I still what? Worry. Don't be obnoxious. Duh. I know that. But I can't help myself. And so what happens is a self-help book can tell you what to do. The problem with a self-help book, it doesn't have the power to give you the ability to do what you know you need to do. And God's Word does. And why is that? Listen to me. Because a self-help book isn't living. It's not God's Word. It's just words. This book right here is more than words. It's God's Word. It's living. It's stimulating. It's liberating. It activates my faith. It increases my faith. I can't tell you the times of where I have led and been afraid or felt intimidated, and I'd go back and I'd read a story in the Bible, and my courage would just begin to soar. I'll never forget this time I was dealing with a group of people and they were leading me. And I knew that if I said what I felt I needed to say, it could cost me dearly. And I was reading in Scripture, and here's what Ezekiel said. You know what Ezekiel said? Go to them even though they will not listen, and they will not heed to your instructions, but they will at least know that they were among a prophet. Meaning that they would at least know that they were among somebody who spoke the truth to them. And it just gave me courage to do what I knew I needed to do. Otherwise, I was cowering. Otherwise, I was pulling back. Otherwise, I was not going to do what I needed to do. I was going to continue to whine and complain about the situation instead of speaking the truth. And so God's Word is stimulating. It activates our faith. Look at this verse here in Acts. It says, now I commit to you God and to the word of his grace, which can what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. You see, it activates my faith, but it also activates my spiritual growth. It says here that you will what? Be built up and be given what? An inheritance among those who are sanctified. That's the Christian believer. Do you know what an inheritance is? An inheritance is what you get for being a part of the family. Let's say that Bill Gates is your daddy. What if you never took the time to read the will? Would you agree that that would be unwise? Sure, because you wouldn't know what was rightfully yours. You would not be benefiting from that which belonged to your father, Bill Gates, as being his son or his daughter. You would not be able to fully enjoy the blessings and the fruit and the benefits because you don't even know about it. When you became a follower of Jesus Christ, you became a son or daughter of the living God. Your heavenly Father. You're not just a believer. You've become a part of God's family. And if you don't read this, listen to me, you don't read this, you don't understand who your daddy is, and you don't understand who you are, his child. And listen to me very carefully. That's why we have so much mental illness in the world today. We call it mental illness. I call it spiritual warfare. I believe 90% of the stuff that we deal with between our ears is spiritual warfare. But the world doesn't know how to put another name on it. And the reason why I believe it's so prevalent in the church today is because, you know what, we don't understand who our daddy is. We worry and we fret, and our lives are full of anxiety, and it chokes the life out of us. You know why? Because we don't know the benefits that we have as being a child or a son or a daughter of the living God. We have an inheritance. You have nothing to worry about. I have nothing to worry about. See, if I told you that you were Bill Gates' son or daughter, you'd say, whoo, don't have to worry about college. Whoo, don't have to worry about the house payment. Whoo, don't have to worry about health care. Well, you got somebody better and bigger than Bill Gates. You got a Heavenly Father who's good and great and generous. So why go through life, your entire life, not knowing the power of God's Word and the opportunities that you have and the blessings that you have and the benefits that are available to you as a son or a daughter of the living God. All because you never took the time to become familiar with the will, God's word. God wants to give you an inheritance as his child, which rightly belongs to you because of what Jesus Christ did. And it'll free you up. Look what God's word has to say here, because it stimulates our growth. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. He says here that when you and I read this book, it will stimulate your faith and your spiritual growth so that you will come to a place in your life of where you are thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means that you will be able to fulfill the purpose that God has for you here on earth. And the Bible lets you know what your purpose is. You see, the purpose of the Bible is to enable you and equip you and empower you and encourage you to live out the life that God has for you, so that you'll be thoroughly equipped, that you will have all that you need, and you will be fully prepared and ready to face life, and that you can meet it head on, and that you're not insufficient, but you're complete, you're equipped. And the Bible here does four things. He tells us, it teaches us, that means it shows us the path that we should walk on. It rebukes us, which is not really fun, but it's necessary. That means it shows me how I got off the path and helps me to realize why I'm in a rut or a ditch. That's called rebuking. And it corrects. That means that it shows me how to get back on the path so that I don't fall into that rut or that ditch again. And then it trains me. That means that it shows me how I can make sure that I stay on the path in a consistent manner. And so God's word is stimulating. It activates my faith. It causes me to grow spiritually. Then let me give you this last one. God's word is wisdom. It's wise. It illuminates my mind and releases my potential. You see, God wants his word to bring light to every situation. Have you ever said this? I feel in the dark on this. Well, God wants to bring light to those situations. Look what it says here. The unfolding of your words give light. Check this out. It gives understanding to the simple. You see, enlightenment isn't for just those who are educated or those who are older or a certain class of people. God wants to bring enlightenment to every single person. He wants to give you wisdom and me wisdom with the truth of who he is, the truth of the next step that you need to take, or the next direction in your life, or maybe the truth of how the feelings that I'm having have come about and how I need to process that, or maybe the truth of how to handle the difficult relationship that I'm in, or maybe the marriage that I'm in, or the son or daughter that I'm trying to lead, or maybe the success that I'm having. You see, God's word wants to give you and I wisdom to illuminate your mind to handle the issues of life. And how does he do that? He does that by turning on a light in our life. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, look what David had to say here in Psalms 119. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Now the key here is meditate, because it's more than just reading. It's thinking over and over and over again and staying there. The word meditate does not mean that you get in a room, you turn off the lights, you cross your legs, you turn your palms upward, and you go, That won't get you very far. Meditate means that you read God's word and you focus in on a certain passage and you say, God, I want to get what you're fully saying in this passage so that I can deal with this situation, or I'll know what direction I need to go to. You see, God's word says that his word is a lamp to what? My feet, and a light to my path. He turns on a light so that you and I will be able to know what direction we should go. And it says here, a lamp. Now, a lamp is not a spotlight. It's not going to shine out there 100 yards. It's going to shine out maybe 2 or 3 steps. That's it. That's why you got to know God. Otherwise, you won't trust him. You'll be afraid. You'll be scared of what is ahead of you. But he says, I've given you my word as a lamp. That means that I'm just going to give you the next step. We want the whole plan. Listen to me. Can I tell you this? You're never getting the whole plan. You all right on that one? That's why he says you walk by faith and not by sight. That's why you need to get very familiar with this book. It amazes me how many fearful Christians we have. We act just like people who don't even know God. So why would they want your God? I don't know. Why would your kids want your God? When you're a mess. Because you're full of fear. Doesn't make sense to me. And God has given us his word as a lamp, saying, you know what? Keep walking, Mason. I'm with you. I'm not going to give you the whole picture. So what do I need to do? It's not that I need more intelligence. You got enough. It's not that I need more potential. You have all the potential you need. Matter of fact, only God knows your full potential. Your mom doesn't know your full potential. Your daddy doesn't know your full potential. You don't even know your full potential. Only God does. That's why we have to trust him. So what do I need to do? Let me give you three things quickly. First of all, I need to study and learn the Bible. I've got to do that. Look what Jesus said here. Your problem is you don't know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. You see, we have a tendency to think that our problem is our problem. Your problem is not your problem. You know that? Your problem is you don't know the scripture and the power of God. You can put two people in the same exact situation, same exact circumstance, and they handle it differently. So it's not the problem. The problem is not the problem. Every problem is an opportunity for you to pray, for you to grow, for you to develop character, for God to show up. The problem is we don't know how to respond to the problems that we're in because we don't know scripture and we don't know the power of God. So we got to study and learn the Bible. Matter of fact, this Wednesday night, we're offering a class on the doctrines of the faith, 8 doctrines. And I would encourage you to come. We've started a New Point Institute of where we're teaching the survey of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You're going to hear more about that. I would get involved in these opportunities so you can study and learn it. And then we need to accept and embrace it. After we study and learn it, we need to accept it and embrace it. Meaning that I accept it as the authority. I trust the Bible. And when I trust the Bible, then it can change my life. You have to decide what is going to be the authority in your life. Look what it says here. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word, you what? You accepted it. Not as the word of men, not as mere words, but as it actually is, the word of God. And there's things in the Bible that I don't understand. I need to obey it anyways. There's things in the Bible I don't like. I need to accept it anyways. There are things in the Bible that creates an inconvenience in my life. I still need to embrace it. So I need to accept and embrace the Word of God. And then let me give you this last one. I need to apply and act on it. I need to apply and act on it. Look what it says here. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? Do them. Not if you write them down, not if you say them, not if you agree with them, not if you nod your head. You're blessed only if you what? If you do them. And when I do them, guess what happens? I experience a new life. I'm free from guilt. I have joy in my life. It activates my faith. It causes me to grow spiritually. It makes me wise, and it releases my potential. And so the Bible can change your life, but we have to study it and learn it. We have to apply it and embrace it, and we have to act on it. We have to do that. All these things are possible. You don't have to be the same man, the same woman. I don't either. We have the Word of God that can change our lives. Would you pray with me? Would you pray this in your heart this morning? Just pray, God, I want your word to be the final authority in my life. I want to begin to study it and learn it. I want to accept it, even when I don't understand it. I want to embrace it, even when it's difficult. I want to apply it and act on it in my life. God, I believe that if I do that by faith, you're going to give me a new life. You're going to free me from guilt and bring me joy. You're going to give me wisdom that will illuminate my mind and free me up. You're going to activate my faith and cause me to grow spiritually so that I can reach my full potential. God, today we thank you for your word that is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, that can bring change in me and us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.